And for the rest of you, if you will turn in a Bible, whether it's a Bible in front of you or your own, one you're borrowing, on a cell phone or a electronic device, find Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. We were looking at before the last 3 weeks, Matthew chapter 5, the Sermon on the Mount. And today we're looking at one verse in particular, the very beginning of what we call the Beatitudes, Matthew chapter 5, verse 3. And even though this is short, pithy, wow, it packs such a punch. And I'm convinced that if the church of Jesus Christ would hear these words and respond to them the way we are intended to respond, things would be very different. Not just in the church, but in our society as a whole. So let's hear what God has to say from Matthew chapter 5, verse 3. These are the words of Jesus himself. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Let me pray for us one more time. Father, guide us in your word. Give me the ability to be able to speak your word with your power. And just as the Lord Jesus left the glory and riches of heaven, he came down to the poor and lowly. I pray that you would help me as I come down from this pulpit to speak to your people, that they would hear. So Holy Spirit, open all of our ears. Give us hearts that will truly receive your word. And let these words sink down deep and produce fruit. Fruit that will last. Fruit that will be to your glory. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. I have a list of, well, not literally a list, but I have in my head a list of words that I really like. Words that every time I hear them, I think, I like that word. That's a cool word. And I'd like to share one of them with you today. It's oxymoron. Now, if you're not familiar with that word, it doesn't mean a moron who takes up your oxygen. A figure of speech that puts two concepts together that seem like they're opposites. For example, and I heard this word this week, and it reminded me, you know, it's the same difference. It's the what? The same difference. What exactly does that mean, same difference? Or here's another one, an exact estimate. Or, you clearly misunderstood me. I mean, think about that one. Or another one of my favorites is act naturally. Now, which is it? Am I acting or am I being natural? Which is it? These kinds of phrases, they seem to contradict each other, and so we may laugh at them, or we may understand what they're saying, but we get the sense, these oxymorons, they have this sense of having two things that seem like they just don't go together, and we're putting them together. And many of us may be tempted to do that with what we see here today. Blessed are the poor in spirit. And you say, blessed and poor in spirit, that doesn't sound like they go together. That sounds like a contradiction. And maybe if it came off of someone else's lips, we can just say, oh, you know, it's just one of those phrases that people use. And it doesn't really mean anything in particular. And so we can sort of ignore it. But this is coming from the lips of Jesus. As a church, as people who say we are followers of Christ, if we're going to take Jesus seriously, we take his word seriously. Right? And hopefully we all do that. And so Jesus declares in this passage that the poor in spirit are blessed. And because Jesus declares that the poor in spirit are blessed, we need to listen and say, what does he mean by that? Now, it's been a few weeks since I last preached here, and several weeks ago we read through all of the Beatitudes, verses 3 through 12, and we tried to talk about what it means to be blessed. See, many of us still have this idea that blessing is something that's just plain good that happens in our lives. But we need a reminder. If you weren't here, this might not be a reminder. This might be new to you, but that's fine too. A reminder to be blessed, biblically speaking, is to have the favor of God. It's not just good things happening. It is to have the favor of God. God smiling upon you. Now, think about that. Many of us think of God as a harsh taskmaster who wants us to measure up and we don't. And so, you know, he stays on our case. I've told this story before. I remember as a child having a children's Bible, and I got it for Christmas. And I opened it up and I was reading it on Christmas Day. I also got a pogo stick that year. You can see where this is going, probably. So I left the Bible open on the floor, and I remember the page. It was on Noah and the ark, and the floodwaters were destroying the world. So that might have had a clue as to why I was thinking what I was thinking when what happened happened. But then I got on my pogo stick, and I was bouncing around, and I bounced on top of the Bible and tore a page. And I literally, and not figuratively literally, I mean literally, literally, thought that God was going to strike me down because I messed up his book. And that's how many people are. Many people think God's just waiting to zap me when I do something wrong. God's just waiting for me to cross that line and then it's done. For any of you who are in this room or in that camp and you think that way, think about what it would mean to have God smile upon you. I mean, just to to dote on you. To, as one of the prophets says, to sing over you with songs of joy. To have that kind of favor from God. Wouldn't that change the whole way you think and live? Yes, it would. I'll go ahead and answer that question. It sure would. And that's part of what Jesus is talking about here when he talks about to be blessed here. It is to have the favor of God. God is smiling upon you. God is saying, you have my attention, and my attention is a loving, benevolent goodness that I want to share with you. But who is it that gets that kind of favor? Is it everybody in the world? Every single human being on the face of the earth? Does everyone experience God's favor that way? If we read the scriptures and we take it for what it actually says, no. There are certain people who receive the blessing, the favor of God, some people who don't. Are you in that category that receives the favor of God, the smile of God? How do you know? Well, Jesus actually shows us a little bit of what the character of these people are, something about them, these kinds of people. And what Jesus says is that the poor in spirit are those who receive this blessing. So we have to ask the question, what does it mean to be poor in spirit? Is Jesus saying that I need to be literally, financially poor in order to receive his favor? Well, that's not exactly what he says here. He does use the word poor, but he says in this passage, the poor in spirit. So what does he mean? Getting right down to it, the poor in spirit are those who know. They know something. They know that in and of themselves, they do not have the resources to be what God calls them to be. Let me repeat that for all of us. The poor in spirit are those who know, they realize, they understand, they grasp that in and of themselves, they do not have the resources to be what God calls them to be. Let's break this down a little bit. What does it mean to be poor? Just literally poor. Well, it means you don't have certain resources. If you are a poor person, you know that in and of yourself, you are not able to buy, purchase, gain things for yourself. You need something outside of yourself in order to gain those things. And what Jesus is talking about here is to be poor when it comes to the Spirit. Do you see yourself as someone who in and of yourself, now, in and of yourself is a very important qualification here, in and of yourself, by yourself, you are spiritually bankrupt. You have nothing to bring to the table when it comes to God except your sin. And that actually puts you in the negative category. Is that the way we see ourselves? Are we saying, I realize I cannot be what God calls me to be because of my sin? And you say, well, what is God calling us to be? We've said over and over in this church that God created us in His image. And so human beings are made in the image of God, male and female. We are both made in the image of God. And therefore, our lives are to reflect something about God, His character, what He cares about. Now, even though all of us were made in the image of God, something happened. We sometimes say that thing that happened is the fall, sin, and that has marred our reflection of God. We are still God's image, but we're not reflecting Him the way we should. That's why the Scriptures say, all have sinned and we fall short of the glory of God. We can't reflect His glory back to Him because of our sin. It's like looking in a cracked, dirty, nasty mirror. You can see something of the reflection, but it's not exactly right. And God has called us to reflect Him, to be like Him, to demonstrate Him. And that image has been marred by sin. It's like looking in that cracked, nasty mirror, and we're reflecting something different than what God really is. And here's what Jesus is saying. When He says that you're blessed by being a poor in spirit, what He means by poor in spirit is He's saying you don't have the resources in and of yourself to fix that mirror, to clean yourself up enough so that you look more like the image God created you to be originally. Now, I get a big kick out of, you know, as a pastor, I get a big kick out of people who, and I shouldn't, and this is probably sin in my heart, but I get a big kick out of people who tell me verses that are in the Bible that aren't in the Bible. You know, people who say, well, you know, Pastor, you know, the Bible says God helps those who help themselves. If you've ever said that, please don't say it again, because the Bible says no such thing. And so Jesus is saying, when He says, you know, that the poor in spirit, it's not God helps those who help themselves. It's not God helps those. God shows His favor to people who are, you know, they've got it together, or they're working hard to get it together. Now, what this passage is showing us, and what the Scriptures as a whole shows us, is that God shows His favor to people who recognize, I can't get it together. One pastor used to quip all the time, grace always runs downhill. And so if you're trying to be on the top of the hill or pretend like you're on top of the hill, there's no grace there. It's when you hit rock bottom. It's when you realize, I don't have the resources. I'm not able to pull myself up by whatever bootstraps you're supposed to pull yourself up by, that you realize that, oh, apart from God at work in me, nothing in my hands I bring. I am naked, I am poor, I am needy, and all I bring to the table is my sin, and even that needs to be taken care of by God. That's what it means to be poor in spirit. It's those who say, I can't do life right on my own. It's those who know they need someone outside of themselves. Now, the truth is that every one of us can't live the life that God called us to live apart from Him. But not everybody realizes that. And that's why poverty of spirit is the opposite of the prevailing culture of self-confidence, self-reliance, and self-righteousness. Hear what all those words have in common? Self. Poverty of spirit is the opposite of the prevailing culture of self-confidence. Confidence. I'm relying on myself. I can do this. Self-reliance. Self-righteousness. You know, since from early age, I had people telling me, you can do whatever you put your mind to. And parents tell their kids that all the time. Now, if you've said that, and look, I've said those words, so we don't need to beat ourselves up here. But if you said that, think about what you're saying. Can we really do whatever we put our mind to? Really? I think what we're trying to say is there are opportunities out there that if you avail yourself of those opportunities, you might be able to do more than you think you can. But that's just not as catchy. You can do anything you put your mind to. Sounds so grand and glorious and wonderful. Wow, yeah, I can do anything I put my mind to. So if I want to be a famous athlete, Stuart Mizell, the guy who always got picked last growing up for any sports, I can do it. Even though I'm 44 years old, I can do it now. All I have to do is put my mind to it. Now, if I went to my elders, the elders of this church, and I said, tomorrow night, we're having a meeting, and if I said, you know, guys, I'm going to quit the ministry, and I'm going to try out for, I don't know, the Boston Red Sox. I'm looking at some of my elders, and they're not giving me the signal, go for it. In fact, it looks a little bit like the opposite. Like, you got to be out of your mind. And I would be. The other thing that we say sometimes to each other is, you got to believe in yourself. Believe in yourself and you can do whatever. Believe in yourself? I mean, come on. You see how, and this is so prevalent in our society, leaders say these things and they act in these ways all the way down to, you know, the kids in the garden. It's so prevalent that when Jesus says it's the poor in spirit who are blessed, we're like, whoa, that's crazy talk. Poor in spirit? No, Jesus. It's those who are confident in themselves that are blessed. No, Jesus. It's those who rely on themselves that are blessed. And we know, because we're so self-confident and so reliant, self-reliant, and that leads us to be that word that we don't like to call each other, self-righteous. I was looking for a definition of self-righteousness that I thought fit what we're talking about here, and I found one that says it's a feeling or display of moral superiority derived from a sense that one's beliefs, one's actions, one's affiliations, etc., are of greater value or virtue than other people. Do you ever have that smug feeling when you go on Facebook and you see what other people are posting and you go, that guy doesn't know anything? You ever feel that way? You know what that's called? The opposite of being poor in spirit. The poor in spirit person would see those same words and go, that is self-righteousness and I'm just like it. That's self-reliance, and I do the same thing. That's self-confidence, and I do the same thing. I need someone outside of myself to save me from this mess that I put myself in, because I think myself is my savior. It's the difference between the two men who walked into the temple to pray, one a Pharisee, one a tax collector, and the Pharisee prayed, God, I thank you that I'm not like these other jerks out here, not like this tax collector over here. What a dummy is. I'm so much better. And the tax collector, of course, stood far off. He wouldn't even lift his eyes up to heaven. And he beat on his chest. And he said, God, be merciful to me, because I'm a sinner. And I have nothing to bring to the table except my sin. I need you. I'm desperate for you. And if anything good is going to come out of me, it has to be from you. That's poverty of spirit. And that's what Jesus says the blessed people are. Now, before I maybe rub this in a little bit more, not in a bad way, massage it in. Nice, deep massage. It's good for you. Let me just tell you what the blessing is, and Lord willing, originally I had this all planned for one sermon, and I just felt like it needed to be divided into two. But I want to talk about it a little bit today and just kind of give you a taste, just a little taste, so that hopefully you'll come back next week. When Jesus says that it's the favor of God that comes upon the poor in spirit, what specifically is he talking about? What blessing is he talking about? Well, look at the passage. Verse 3. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. What's he saying the blessing is? The blessing the poor in spirit receive is the kingdom. It's the kingdom. Now, again, next week, I want to talk about this more fully. But I want you to see something that's pretty amazing here. Look down at verses 4 and following. Jesus also says that those who are blessed are those who mourn. Why? For they shall be comforted. Now, what he's saying is, those who mourn now, they are blessed because they will be, shall be, sometime in the future, comforted. You see that? Blessed are the meek, for they shall one day inherit the earth. Verse 6, blessed are those who thirst for righteousness, for they shall be, at some point, satisfied. And you can go on and on with these. Almost all of these have a display of a future sense. Look at what Jesus says in verse 3. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Not will be, not shall be, it is. In other words, those who are poor in spirit have the kingdom as their possession even now. They don't have to wait to have possession. They have it now. Now, there's a fullness to come, which we'll talk about next week, Lord willing. But their name is already on that deed. I want you to think about it this way. You know how sometimes when we pray the Lord's Prayer, the traditional version of the Lord's Prayer, and we get to the end and we say, "For thine is the kingdom," what are we saying? We're saying, God, you have possession of the kingdom. It's all yours. You hear what Jesus is saying? Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom. It belongs to them. Just as it belongs to God, in some way, some fashion, in some sense, it belongs to those who are poor in spirit. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that knock your socks off? If you were wearing socks. Now, the question I have to ask to all of us is, we've described poverty of spirit. Does that describe you? In any sense? Do you see any bit of poverty of spirit there? It's a good question. And the one thing I don't want you to leave here today, I don't want you leaving with this thought. All right, Stuart said in the sermon that Jesus said, it's the poor in spirit who are going to be blessed. I want to be blessed, so I'm going to work hard at being poor in spirit. Do you see the fallacy of what you're doing there? You can't get there from here. Only God can bring you to be poor in spirit. Poverty of spirit can be produced in us only by the grace of God. If you recognize that you do not have that poverty of spirit, you need the grace of God. You need the Lord Jesus Christ. You need the Holy Spirit working in you. And you say, well, what do? Do I just sit back and wait for Him to possibly do that? No, you cry out to Him. God, I'm poor and needy. I need you. I'm desperate here. I need you to produce poverty of spirit in my life so that I recognize it, so that I see it, so that it's a reality in my life, not just some theological fact that I plant back in the back of my mind. No. It's the way when I wake up, I think, I need Jesus. When I go to eat my meals, I need Jesus. When I go to work, I need Jesus. When I'm trying to help my kids with their homework, I need Jesus. When I'm mowing my lawn, I need Jesus. I mean, Jesus did say, I am the vine. You are the branches. If you abide in me and I abide in you, you will bear much fruit. But apart from me, you can do nothing. Do we really believe that? If you do, that's poverty of spirit. And if you believe that, you are blessed. You have the favor of God. You have the smile of God upon you because you can't do that. You can't produce that in your heart. Only God, by the Holy Spirit, through the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, can produce that. And I want you to hear this one last thing from Isaiah 57, verse 15. If you are one of those who is low and you're poor in spirit and you recognize that you are at the bottom, there's nothing you can give, listen to these beautiful words, these words of life. Thus says the one who is high and lifted up. Who's this? It's the Lord God Almighty, who inhabits eternity, whose name is holy. He is set apart. He says, I dwell in the high and holy place. And also with him who is of a contrite and lowly spirit. I reside not only in the high and holy place, but with those who are poor in spirit. That's the good news, that Jesus left the riches of heaven and he came down to be our Emmanuel. And now he dwells in our hearts by faith in the Holy Spirit. So folks, if you're like me and you recognize there's a little bit of poverty of spirit there, but there sure could be a lot more. I could see that grow and increase in my life. Let's ask God to produce and increase this poverty of spirit in our lives. I'm going to pray that for me, and I'm going to pray that for you. Let's pray. Father, thank you that you dwell in the high and holy places. You inhabit eternity. Your name is holy. But you also dwell with those who are lowly and poor in spirit, who are contrite for their sin, who know that in and of themselves they cannot produce what you call them to do. And I pray that you would produce and increase that poverty of spirit in my life and in the lives of all those who hear this message. For only you can do it. And we are thankful that you produce these things out of your power and not by any righteous thing or good thing that we do. And help us cling to the Lord Jesus who died for us and rose from the dead for us, that we would have this kind of life. And we ask this in his name. Amen.